You're listening to TechNado. Welcome and thanks for joining us for this episode of TechNado. Quick reminder, TechNado is sponsored by ACI Learning, the folks behind IT Pro, and you can use that code TechNado30 for a discount on your IT Pro membership. Stop the timer. New record.
There it was. 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
Not bad.
I got to beat my time every time. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got some interesting stuff we're going to get into this week, pulling out some Deja News pieces because we do have some updates
on
some big stories. But of course, we've got, you know, breaking stuff and everything. And so I'm looking forward to it. How about you?
Oh, always a good time. Always a good time. I did have a question for you, though.
Okay.
Just because it's on my mind.
Okay. Get it out of the way.
I don't know how I randomly got down this rabbit hole, but I thought it'd be fun to get your opinion and yours as well. Because maybe you agree or disagree or whatever. Michael Myers versus Jason Voorhees. Who wins in this death battle? Yes. So... See, I knew you would be like, hey, that's not an easy question to answer now that you say that.
So don't be mad at me.
I won't be mad.
I don't believe
Jason Voorhees.
I don't believe I've seen either of them in their entirety.
Well, movies. You know who the characters are, so that's all that matters.
I do. So Jason Voorhees is Friday the 13th, right?
Yes.
And he's the guy that, he was at the bottom of the lake or something?
Yes, Crystal Lake. Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah, but he's like...
He was drowned.
He can't be killed or something.
Correct.
Right? Michael Myers, I thought, attacked Jamie Lee Curtis, the babysitter.
It was his sister, yes.
The sister, okay. Yeah. But he was in prison.
Correct. So, escapes. Also can't be killed.
Okay.
Unstoppable force.
Do we know the lore
object.
Behind why either
there
of them can't be killed?
There is lore behind both of them and what they can and cannot do. The reason I ask, if you haven't seen, there's this...
there's like a Jason versus Freddy or something,
there's
right?
There's a movie, Jason versus Freddy, yes. I believe that Jason came out on top.
But this is Jason versus Michael.
This is Jason versus Michael, which has never occurred to my knowledge. I just thought there's such similar characters, and I happened to see the death battle. There is a thing, Boomstick and so-and-so. I forget the name of the characters that do that show. But very entertaining. And they do like the science behind who would win.
Yeah.
And then they make an animation of them fighting. Very entertaining. I won't spoil it for you. So if you want to go watch that, that's...
My inclination...
I want to hear Sophia's take on this.
My inclination is to say Jason would win. Only because I feel like he's got the advantage of terrain. So like, we know both of them can operate on land.
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever seen Michael Myers operate in water, but we know Jason has a hold on that. He's
so
got a handle.
So Jason pulls this into the aquasphere.
He can get the advantage.
He might pull the win due to...
I don't know if Michael Myers is capable of
home court advantage.
I guess if he can't die, he can't be drowned. But saying like, we don't know how well he moves. I mean, he's got that big jumpsuit on and the big mask. Yeah. I would imagine he fills up with water.
I would recommend. Yeah, you should watch that episode. Very interesting and entertaining.
I'll watch the movies first.
Yeah.
And then, especially because I know it's only July, but fall's going to be here before we know it. Actually, it's August as of the day this episode is airing. So happy August.
Happy August.
Happy almost autumn, I guess. But yeah, it's coming up quick enough that I could watch those movies in preparation for
Halloween.
That's
right. We're almost there.
It'll be there before we know it. But interesting question.
I just thought it'd be fun to...
That is random.
Pose that for everyone.
When you said, I want to get your take on something, I really thought it was going to be like something controversial. And of course, that could be. I don't know.
You never know.
What do you think? Jason or Michael?
Yeah.
Or Freddy? Throw him in there. Maybe when it's a 2-on-1, maybe that changes the outcome.
In the dreamscape.
Pretty
all day, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He has the advantage of a different plane.
That's his home field.
Right.
That's
it's not terrain, it's plane. So that's interesting. You're breaking my brain, Daniel. It's too late in the day for this. Well, we have got some good stuff for you today. Hope you enjoy. We'll go ahead and get into it. It's our first and favorite segment, Breaking News.
Breaking News!
Wow.
Even though I only one-gunned it, I had to...
You treat them equally.
The smoke off of both.
You gotta treat them equally. Yeah.
I accidentally discharged underneath you. Got Sophia right in the foot.
It's fine. It's like Goodfellas.
She
I'm living my dream.
She never walks right again after that.
I'm living my dream.
Yeah. Hey, Spider.
He told me to dance. That's what it was. Well, this first one we've got here, we got a couple of some bugs in our breaking news today. Patch now, ServiceNow critical RCE bugs under active exploit, which is always so fun when we have a bug that is currently being exploited. Is there a fix for this? Do we know?
I guess
if this is patch now.
It does say patch now, so that means there is a patch.
That would make sense.
And that if you are running the ServiceNow, I think it's a ServiceNow, right? Software, that you should probably go and make that patch happen because, as Ms. Sophia and the article have said, this is actively being exploited in the wild. We got a couple of CVSS scores going on here. We've got this one, CVE 2024-4879, with a CVSS score of 9.3, and then CVE 2024-5217 with a 9.2. if I'm remembering correctly, there's some issues with input in, validation that is allowing for, you know, the bad stuff. We'll call it the bad stuff today because that's the most technical term I can come up with. to be allowed to happen. If I'm not mistaken, there's also some proof of concept code that is out there in the wild. Yep, a public proof of concept exploit was quickly published, paving the way for widespread attacks in the wild. So if you are running ServiceNow, I highly recommend you hit the stop button and go make that patch happen.
Well, thank you for that, Daniel. Thank you for that breaking news. Because, yeah, 9.3, 9.2, that's nothing to sneeze at as far as that CVSS goes. It's not the only game in town, though. We've also got Echo Spoofing, which is a massive phishing campaign exploiting Proofpoint's email protection to dispatch millions of perfectly spoofed emails. Perfectly spoofed.
Perfectly.
Well, at least they meet the standard. That's good.
Yeah.
So this has been going on, to my understanding, since like January of this year, I think, at least.
Yeah, sure.
Been going on a while. Just a few years ago, this was maybe not as big of a concern. And now they have been launching female phishing email campaigns, taking hold of identities like Disney, IBM, and Coca-Cola.
Yeah. So the real issue here is that Proofpoint, right? Is it Proofpoint? Is that there? Yeah, Proofpoint, right? They are very popular to be used as for email validation and routing and things of that nature. So it's highly likely that you are hitting a Proofpoint server from time to time when it comes to your email, especially a lot of these larger organizations. This is a long article. There's no way. This is a full-on masterclass on email spoofing. So enjoy if you're really interested in what's going on here. I do believe that Proofpoint has taken steps to fix this, triage the problem, and now should not be as much of an issue. But what it does bring up is the fact that we tend to rely on certain protections to keep us safe, and that just because they are there does not necessarily mean that we are safe from those old tried and true attacks like spoofing. Yeah. Back in the day, you wanted to spoof something, you logged into an SMTP server, you threw a couple of commands on the command line at it, and voila, a perfectly crafted spoofed email. And it took someone with a very discerning eye to be able to determine that this was what that was. But now we come up with things like, DKIM and SPF for helping us keep those things a little more secure, right? Mm. Hey, are you on the authorized senders list? If not, see ya, right? You're out of here. That's what SPF does. And DKIM, where it's like, has this been digitally signed and is it who it's supposed to be from? Cool. Guess what? Through this little snafu and the way that the Proofpoint servers could be stood up, what could cause those things to actually occur on a spoofed email. So if you're coming in from something like Google, like Gmail or Outlook, or like Microsoft 365, there's some pretty easy set it and forget it type of, or there was at least, settings in Proofpoint that would allow, hey, if I'm getting this from Gmail, just send it on through. Hmm. And the same kind of thing. So I could create a spoofed email in one of those services, send it through Proofpoint would then basically think, this is, they use like Disney and things of that nature, Coca-Cola. Yeah, it's Disney. DKIM it and SPF, that sucker all day long. Send it out. Now it's coming and it looks like it is straight there. It has all the right credentials allowing for, like you said, perfectly crafted spoofed emails. So that was the highlights of what I got in the 5 minutes I tried to read.
It is long.
Tome of an article.
It's very in-depth, which is great.
It is good. So you have all the details within this article if you need to take a look at what's going on there.
Yeah, we'll link it if you do want to get into the details of how this works. But yeah, started around January 2024, so that was when the activity started to pick up. Daily average of 3 million perfectly spoofed emails, but the highest peak was a daily number of 14 million, which is crazy to me. I guess in the grand scheme, world population of 8 billion, 14 million is a small number.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we do a lot of email out there. There's a lot of it is spam.
Yeah.
So, you just got to, you could be doing your due diligence there. That's a tough sentence to say. and it still wouldn't have mattered because of this problem. Just goes to show you, you don't just click your way through an installation, a configuration.
True.
You need to be very exact. You need to be very intentional. That's the word I'm looking for. Very intentional on what you do and how you set that up. Because if you start hitting the easy buttons on stuff, Sophia, as you know, as you've learned, right? What is it? Ease of use.
The sliding scale?
Sliding
between
scale.
Between security and ease of use.
It's getting too easy. It's probably a little less secure.
Yeah, that's true. If your password can be five characters and all of them can be the letter A.
It will be.
It's easy for you to remember.
That's right.
But also easy for people to figure out. So
good to know.
That was a good one. That's a good piece of breaking news. So stay vigilant, right? As always, stay vigilant. Really quick, a couple other things. Just a little sad respect fact here. The Xbox 360 store did close this week officially. So shut down. I know. It's very sad. That was probably the first console I played on. And it was, you know, just rest in peace.
I loved a 360, man. It was a great console.
Yeah. It was quite enjoyable. I really liked that was my first
last console I owned.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, I still have a Wii, but like my last gaming console that I bought and was like, yes, I love this thing, actively buying games, was a 360.
It was a beast as far as like the selection of games. Mm-hmm. Like you could do a lot with the 360. And now it's like,
oh yeah,
it's very
cute.
Limited.
Isn't
and
that
very
cute?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And oh, you have to get the online code, but then we might actually discontinue that in a year. Like, you know, so it was. Yeah,
that sucks, man.
It was a sad day. The store's closed.
I wouldn't mind having a 360, honestly. There's still, that's great library of games. Of course, all the Xboxes are backwards compatible, aren't they?
I think so for most games.
Yeah.
Yeah, for most games. So if you do have an Xbox 360, hold it closer today.
Or
hold it a little
ship
tighter.
It to Daniel, care of ACI.
Yeah, send
Learning.
It right to the office.
P.O. Box.
And then Xbox Ones are having firmware updating issues. A lot of people with Xbox Ones are noticing they can't update their firmware anymore.
Really?
So, yeah. Microsoft
really
is...
you on that. What is it? Series X or whatever it is? What's the...
Yeah, the latest is either the X or the S, I think.
I don't...
Both. Okay, Christian says both.
Both of them.
It's hard to keep
which
up.
Which one's the top dog?
Series X. Okay, thank you, Christian.
Yes.
I look up.
The voices
like
in
up
our
there.
Head have told us this is the Series X.
Look up like it's God speaking to us.
It's that.
Thank you.
You haven't seen it, most likely, but in Real Genius, when they got this guy, the character Kent, they put a receiver and a transmitter in his like headgear, and they're talking to him in a modulated voice. Kent, I see you, Kent. Jesus.
God's
God,
up there
Kent.
Like, the Series X solos.
Yes.
So a couple pieces of, I guess, breaking news if you are an Xbox fan. And then Microsoft is also experiencing another outage right now. It's affecting Microsoft 365 and Azure services. It's relatively recent. We're filming this a little bit in advance of the release date. So maybe as of the time that this episode's being aired, they'll have a fix. But
probably
this is pretty breaking in that we're not sure about the details yet. Because
we got a Teams message about it today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you didn't see it from our IT department?
Sure, I did. I always check
Teams. They get on to me and say, I don't check my Teams.
It was a busy morning.
Uh-huh.
A lot going on, all right?
Uh-huh.
Yes, so that's going on. We'll have to see if there's any updates. And I'll definitely check my Teams a little bit later after this. So that's all I had for breaking news. Breaking news was fun
today. I mean, except for all the horrible things that are happening.
Yeah, I mean, like the Xbox 360 officially dying.
That is the
death.
Worst. I mean,
that's the worst.
This is a black day today.
Forget phishing emails.
Dark times are upon us.
Well, you wore black. I didn't prepare.
I did. This is my World West Hackenfest shirt.
From last year? No, yeah. That's year before, right?
No, this was last year, right? No.
Last year was the X-Files one.
Was it? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Right?
I Want to Be Leet. That was last year's theme.
That's right. That was last year's theme.
The only one I've been to, so it's hard to forget.
Losing my mind.
I thought you had a hold on this one, because this year's like, what, Space Cowboys or something like that? Or
yeah.
Cowboys
they're, they're calling it Space Cowboys, but it's really supposed to be Firefly.
So oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Due to legal reasons, they cannot officially badge this.
They can't afford the copyright.
As, yeah.
Okay.
As that stuff.
I'll add Firefly to my list then. On reasons
unrelated.
Oh, dude,
Firefly, great show.
Yeah? Okay.
14 episodes.
Really?
All there is.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Great show. I started off, if I'll just tell you I remember when it was on TV, but I didn't watch it. So I was like, okay. I was like in the middle of other stuff.
Sure.
Years down the road, I'm watching random movies. You know, friends are like, oh, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. A friend of mine is like, you're going to love this. Serenity. I'm like, okay, cool. Pop it in. As it goes, I'm like, wasn't this a TV show? Yes, it was. And they got their own full length, even though it had one season. So I'm like, oh, I got it. I went and ran out and bought the box set for the show. Power watched it.
Hmm.
Just binged that sucker as fast as I could. And was enamored with the show. Loved it. Loved it. My friend George, he gets pissed. He's like, one season? Really? This is all we get? You know, like, it really sent him off in a tizzy about that show. But it was so popular, even though it got canceled, that the fans clamored hard enough that the studio was like, if we give you a movie, will you shut up? And they said, it's better than nothing. We'll take it.
Huh.
And so they did. And they gave him a full movie, and it was great.
I'll have to look into it, especially if it's only 14 episodes. I could do that in a week.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing to it.
Yeah, that's easy. Okay.
Very entertaining.
I will add it to my homework list before we go to Wild Beast, I confess, this year, so that, because I did not understand the X-Files reference last year because I'd never seen it. And as I'm watching it, I'm starting to get it.
Oh, you're still watching X-Files, right?
Yeah. I took a pause because I'm watching The Sopranos, too.
I just watched Home the other day.
Yeah. That's the one that was like.
Dude, it was, to this day, I've seen it 10 times. It's still that disturbing.
Wasn't
it's still
it like what? Pretty heavily censored because of how disturbing
I think it
was?
Only aired once.
Oh, okay.
And then it was like if they, the all, like in full, and then the subsequent times that it was aired in syndication, it was, yes, it was censored.
Because of how disturbing it was.
Yeah, it was a very disturbing episode.
I got some work to do then.
Yeah.
I feel like I get some bonus content every episode, new homework to add to my ever-expanding list. But moving on from our breaking news, getting into our articles for today, this first one, it's our good friend Meta and good old Zuck. Meta removed 63,000 Instagram accounts linked to Nigerian sextortion scams. So in this case, it's a win for Meta, I would say.
Yeah, this was a good thing. Yeah. This was an absolute good thing. I'm glad. Here's what kills me. 63,000 accounts dedicated to the non-fun that is sextortion scams. Right? If you're not familiar with this, I don't know how much we can stay and keep this family friendly. But suffice to say, es no bueno. Okay. Not cool, as Nick Cage would say. Not cool. Right? At all. And for them, so that's kind of like was my big takeaway on this article, right? Was that this was a one-time shot and they pulled down 63,000 accounts. How many other accounts? This opens the larger conversation of how much of online activity is people. And how much is like scams and bots and bullshit? I'm just saying it, you know?
Isn't there like a theory that like in however many years the internet's going to be basically useless because it's going to be
it's just
AI and bots
AI
talking, to,
talking
each other?
To each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. That will be the singularity where we just become, you know, online is useless for us because it is controlled by our digital overlords.
It says that in this, like you said, 63,000 is a lot, but that just, it makes you wonder, this is just the ones that they
that
took
they
down.
Caught,
So how many accounts are there out there that were missed? Because it's hard to catch all of them. It's not like Pokemon. You can't catch them all. It's very difficult. So it does say that in this case, there was this smaller coordinated network that targeted a lot of adult men, but it is referenced later in this article, the Yahoo Boys, which was
Yahoo
that group
Boys.
That they targeted a lot of teenagers and kids.
And unfortunately, that ends not well a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Because kids,
they blackmail them.
Right. And then they're so freaked out about what's getting ready to happen to them.
Yeah.
Right. That they do things that
they self-check out.
Yeah. Then they shouldn't do that. Right. Yeah. That's why I hope they put these people under a prison if they can catch them.
Yeah.
Right. Cause that's what you deserve. Like you are the complete worst of the worst. You are right there. I'll just stop. Cause I'm gonna go down a rabbit hole.
I don't blame you.
Of anger and disgust.
I don't blame you. This is one of the things I saw this week about Meta, because I feel like in recent news, a lot of the stuff we've seen about Meta has been like maybe not so great. Like I know they were kind of in some trouble, I think in the UK, for they were violating some form of some part of GDPR.
Oh yeah, GDPR, yeah.
And so I feel like a lot of the stuff I've seen about them recently has been like, oh, Meta, what are you doing? Like you're getting yourself in trouble. But I saw like a part of an interview with Mark Zuckerberg over the weekend, and it seems like he's... I don't want to like defame him. Not that he's not normal, but he's got a reputation for a reason, right?
Like how you embezzled the fact that he's not normal by saying, like, I don't want to say he's not normal.
But he's got a reputation for a reason. There's jokes, you know.
Oh,
and,
yeah. The whole he's an android or a lizard
right,
person.
Yeah, because
whatever.
He's a little awkward in his behaviors. But the more like this interview he did,
that's in dispute.
He's like kind of becoming normal. Like he was talking about how, you know, you hear these people, these tech companies that are like, you could just upload your consciousness into the cloud and da, da, da.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's BS. You can't do that. That's not what makes you a human. It's your heart and your mind and your actions and da, 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 da. And like went on this tangent. And I was like, okay, Mark.
Yeah.
When did he
get red pilled?
Right. Like what happened? Because I don't know.
They say that like starting to work out and things like that is the road.
He touched grass.
He did.
And it's curing him.
He unplugged. And yeah.
Obviously, he's a very smart guy. I'm not like trying to discredit. Christian said it was a software update.
Zuckerberg 3.0.
It's GPT-4 Zuckerberg edition. Yeah. That's a good one, Christian.
That's good.
I wish we had like a face cam on him.
Well played.
He makes the magic behind the scenes. He was responsible for our Boot Loops graphic last week. We got a lot of people commenting about that, saying
it was my idea, but he brought it to reality and he did it in a spectacular fashion.
It was good teamwork between
Daniel
and Christian.
Teamwork makes the dream work, man. Mm-hmm. With my ideas and his creativity and his skills,
dream team.
We brought to you the Boot Loops. I told him this morning, I was like, I love that graphic. You did such a good job with that.
It's a shame we can't use it again.
Yeah.
Not that I want that to happen again, but like, it's just such a shame we only get one use out of it. You know?
That was a single serving.
We might talk about CrowdStrike later this episode, so maybe we can reuse it. Who knows? We'll have to see.
Back up on the screen.
But yeah, this week's top three people in cybersecurity, Christian, Daniel, and Mark Zuckerberg. So thanks for doing that, Meta. That's pretty cool of you, and we hope that they continue to dismantle those systems.
Yeah. Kick their ass.
Absolutely. Well, in other big tech news, slightly less positive, X begins training Grok AI with your posts, and this article goes into how you can disable it as well. The reason I wanted to talk about this is because
this is your article.
This is one that I pulled, and the reason that it stood out to me is because I will admit, I'm an X user, okay? I probably am on social media more than I should be. I know.
A lot of people use X, if I'm not mistaken.
I could touch some grass. I know. And even when it was Twitter, like I was probably on there too much. But, you know, it's fun to scroll. So anyway, laughing.
Yes, they know.
They've got me. They've got me.
They're like, you know, if we just make another thing after this, they'll go to it. They'll never leave.
And every big tech company, every social media company has their own like AI type thing going on. Obviously, there's ChatGPT. It's part of OpenAI, right? There's that whole thing. Right. But like, Meta AI is a thing. I go to search something in Instagram and it like doesn't take, and it thinks that I'm asking the AI a question and it opens a chat with the AI. And I'm like, stop it. I don't want to talk to your AI. But in this case, this is Elon Musk's X version. It's called Grok. And this is not like a new thing, having like an AI trained on the input of your users. I think that's part of why Meta was getting in trouble. But in this case, like Instagram's free to use, right? Facebook is free to use.
Correct.
And the argument was like,
free
as in you don't pay any money.
Yes.
But like, I thought what it was they were going to offer, like, if you want to pay for like an upgraded version, mm-hmm. then we won't use your data, or then you won't get ads and things like that. And it was like, well, that's not really fair. In this case, X is free to use, but Grok you have to pay for. You have to become a premium user to use Grok. But they're scraping your data to train the AI anyway. So they're training the AI that you don't even get to use unless you pay for it.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
So that to me was like, huh? Like, it's one thing if I pay for the AI and you say, by paying for this, you agree to da-da-da-da.
At the end of the day, right? Well, you do. By using the platform, you agreed to the EULA that says Grok gets to scrape your data.
That's true.
And learn based off of what you post, what you watch, and what you like, and what you do, and how long you stay somewhere, and all the 17 other billion data points that it is looking at. It does seem unfair. And maybe you think that is unfair as well. I mean, I feel like there's probably quite a bit of people out there that might go, yeah, that's a bridge too far. If I am going to give you my data to train it, I want access to the thing so that I can use it.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So this is where you've got to make your voice heard and go, hey, I want access to Grok. If I'm going to train Grok, I want access to Grok. And I'm going to stop using the service and start some sort of grassroots, go to wherever, you know, do whatever you got to do. I don't know how to.
Or I guess it's just delete
change
X. But
meta.
Like,
memes is a good way.
Yeah, that does get Elon's attention.
Right, you get some good meme game going on, and he'll probably see it.
He will probably see it.
That is funny.
And sometimes, to his credit, he'll see somebody say something and be like, oh yeah, you're right, that's kind of BS. Let me see if I can fix that. To his credit. I've seen that a couple times.
I have it as well. He is an interesting individual as well.
But in this case, it was very like they quietly started rolling this out and saying that we're going to start training our AI with your stuff because Grok was not around when it first converted to X. And so they give you the option to like not participate in that. But there was no alert that, hey, by the way, we're doing this now. And it's opt in by default. So you have to go in and hunt it down in the settings.
So you are allowed to opt out without any kind of reprisal or repercussion.
You can. Supposedly.
You just get a less customized experience, right?
Exactly.
Whoop-de-doo.
Oh no, what am I gonna do?
Hey, you know what? To me, like, I like rolling the internet dice. Let's just see what we get. I don't want a personalized experience. I don't need you to, if I need something, I'll find it.
Yeah.
I don't need your help. Thank you. I don't need you to know what side of the bed I sleep on and when I go to the bathroom and all the other things. Oh, you're Daniel. You're almost out of toilet paper. You should blah, 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 which these things do. I know when I'm almost out.
You don't have to tell me.
I go, look at that. The roll looks small. I'll go buy more. Yeah. Right. This is weird how we're outsourcing these things to robots. All right. Yeah. But if I can go in and just turn this off, then yeah, they probably could have been a little more vocal about it.
It's a little sneaky, but I guess that's
sneaky. It's not necessarily. Yeah, maybe you could see this as sneaky.
I'm sure like X is not the first platform to do something like this.
No,
but
that doesn't make it right. It's like that's a tu quoque argument, right?
I do hate the like whole like it's opted in by default and you have to opt out. But I guess if they didn't opt people into this by default, who would go in and turn that on purpose?
Right.
Like,
well, and that's where they should just give you a notification as you log in.
Hey, by the way,
hey, we have Grok. You can't move past this until you answer these questions.
Yeah.
You must scroll and read, but that pisses people off and makes them go, screw it. I'm just going to turn this off. And no, you're not. You're going in.
If your account's hooked, like private, which the account I primarily use is private because I don't want people to find me on there. Don't hunt me down. It's my private space. My private personal. I never post.
Yeah.
I only
it's
ever
a sock puppet.
Okay. Well, there you go. I only ever repost.
No, as in you should get a sock puppet account.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I only ever repost like memes and stuff. So that's part of why I'm like, I don't want you seeing what I repost. It's stupid. But anyway, if your account's private, it doesn't. Grok can't use it to train. But if your account's public, this is something that you should probably know about. So wanted to mention that.
Good to know.
Yes. But moving on from our good friends at X and Meta and OpenAI and all of the above, going into our next segment, this is Behind Bars.
Break the law. And
I'm not hearing the music or anything. So.
No, I'm sure it's going.
Everybody's probably like, why are they just sitting there in total and utter silence?
We just like to look at you.
But it will be like in post. They will have that, I'm sure.
You should have been taking your monster can and like clinging it against
clang,
the
clang,
bars.
Clang, 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 clang.
We've got a bit of a double feature for this Behind Bars. First up, we have a former Avaya employee that got 4 years for an $88 million license piracy scheme. And of course, they have a pirate flag in case the piracy wasn't clear enough. But three individuals that orchestrated.
Not a real flag, it's AI generated.
It may very well be, right. Honestly.
This is the world we live in.
It probably is. I don't know the signs to look for, but it's probably AI generated. I'm a little cynical. But these three individuals orchestrated a massive pirating operation involving the sale of Avaya business telephone system software licenses. I had not heard of this company before this article came up, but $88 million is not chump change.
No, that's a lot. It's a weird, to me, when I read this article, I'm reading the whole thing thinking, these people stole $88 million. Because that's kind of how they bill it. And then at the end, it's like, it says that it's something to the effect of, oh, here we go. The DOJ says Heinz bought the ADI licenses and sold them to resellers and end users worldwide at a much lower price than their design costs, causing massive losses for Avaya, estimated at $88 million.
Oh.
So
how much money they actually accumulated from it?
Correct, because I'm like, when you look at how much they had to repay, which was one of them had to pay $4 million, another one had to pay $4 million, another one had to pay $2 million. I'm like, that's not $88 million. Did they just blow that money? How do you blow like $78 million?
Yeah.
I guess you can. It's totally possible.
Yeah.
But it's time to start selling assets at that point, right? Trying to recoup.
They started buying houses. That's what they did.
Yeah, they're in the housing market. They're
opening Airbnbs.
Investing in the BlackRock and State Street, right? This is their thing.
That makes more sense then, because I saw 4 years. I was like, that's a pretty insignificant amount of time for $88
million. Right?
But that makes
more
sense.
There you go. Right. They're saying that it accumulated up to an estimated $88 million. Hey, when articles do that, just say, here's how much we know they lost, or this was an estimated losses of $88 million. Not that they stole $88 million. I hate when they do that.
Yeah.
Don't make article stuff like that, man. Just don't do it.
Yeah, that is interesting. Well, they're going to serve their time. I thought it was interesting. One of them is serving
Florida
4 years.
Drivers must know about this new trick. that's what it is. Number three will shock you.
They hate him. Drivers hate him. One of them was sentenced to 4 years. One was sentenced to a year and 6 months. And then one was sentenced to a year and a day. Is that normal? Is that like a common?
This is weird.
It's a very odd. Like,
I'm sure it has something to do legally.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe because this year was a leap year or something. And like.
Nah, they would have just said a year.
Okay.
Right. I would think.
Yeah, it's just odd. It's very specific.
So maybe it has something to do with where they're spending their time.
Oh,
right. Because I think that like county jail facilities, I think they only hold people up to a year. And then if you're doing over that, you're going to a prison.
But if it's just a year, like in a day, they don't, it's not worth.
Right. Maybe that's like the cutoff day.
Or.
So they're going to spend their time in the county hotel.
Yeah.
And then the other two dudes are going to the state prison.
Or do you think maybe if it's like, if the cutoff is a year, let's just say, maybe they said, no, you need to go to federal prison as well. So we're giving you an extra day. Right.
You get an extra day.
Just to push you over the edge.
We teach you to steal. And you are going to have fun there.
I mean, he's going to do his time either way.
Yeah.
Dusty O. Pierce, which is a
That's a name. Stupid name.
I wasn't going to say it.
I was going to say, well, I say stupid. It sounds made up.
Yeah. Dusty O. Pierce.
Those poor people out there going, my name is Dusty Pierce.
He sounds like a prospector.
Yeah.
Or maybe it might be a woman, actually. I don't know.
What are you doing in my you claim jumper?
I'm Dusty O. Pierce, and these 88 million are mine.
That's right. Who are?
Well.
Of the law offices of Dusty O. and Pierce.
Yes, absolutely. Well, they are going to do their time for that license piracy scheme. So crime doesn't pay. Crime doesn't pay.
I hope not.
In other news, and this is also kind of a callback to something we talked about a couple weeks ago. You may remember we discussed a man who was in some trouble for calling in some death threats to one Nintendo. That Japanese man is getting jailed for repeated death and bomb threats that saw multiple Nintendo events canceled, and the judge excoriates.
That's a fun word.
I was going to say, I've not seen that word in a long time. Selfish motive and persistent and vicious behavior. So this guy, if you don't remember, was really mad that he kept losing, I think at Splatoon, and every time he would lose, he would get angrier and angrier, and he started calling like Nintendo, or started submitting forms to Nintendo, like complaint forms, basically saying like threatening them, threatening events and things like that, and didn't follow through on any of them, thank goodness. But they ended up having to cancel a ton of their events. Like they had an event beginning of the year that was supposed to happen, some kind of like, not Nintendo Direct, but something like that. They had to cancel it for the safety of, they couldn't take the chance, right?
Yeah.
So they argued that like, we lost all this money because we couldn't take the chance. We had to cancel all these events because you were calling in these bogus threats. And
there's definitely some weight behind that statement.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Takemi Kazama, I think is how that's pronounced. He's a 27-year-old dude. He's guilty of intimidation of business by repeatedly posting threats of harm. And he's going to serve some time.
Now he has a judge excoriating him. Yeah. How often do you get to say the word excoriate? Speaking of home, the words you don't say often, cloaca, right? It was used in the X-Files. I was like, that's not something you hear every day.
Did you say something earlier this week or last week about trying to put that in an episode?
No, I didn't see it until like this week.
I was going to say, I heard somebody say that earlier this week. Wow.
Yeah, fun.
Christian says somebody did, yeah.
Did I?
Apparently. You just talk about it so often.
Listen.
Huh.
Yeah, right. We're seeing words that we don't see all the time.
Yeah.
Makes me think of
patterns.
It's funny.
There's a conspiracy. The big government is trying to educate us. They will not prevail.
That's right.
So in this case, the judge said that there's nothing to be said for such a selfish motive. The crime was persistent and vicious, sentenced him to 1 year in prison, suspended for 4 years. I'm not like super well-educated on like the law and stuff. This is obviously over in Japan. So what does that mean when you're sentenced to 1 year in prison, suspended for 4 years? Is that like when you redshirt an athlete and they like are there, but they can't play? So they get like an extra year of eligibility?
So that's a good question. I don't know that I'm checked out on this either as far as like, so you're saying that he got a year in prison, but the prison sentence was suspended for 4 years?
In
like 4 years, does he go to prison or?
Huh. Okay. So if somebody's handed a 5-year sentence with 3 years suspended, they would serve
two years
in prison and then be released facing the conditions. So we're giving you time to prove yourself, basically. Time outside, like with conditions that, okay, you're going to serve 2 years of this time. If you can do this time outside, then you're good. If you mess up again during the time that we let you out,
gotcha.
You're back. So 1 year sentence, 4 years suspended. So he'll go to prison for a year.
That's
and then,
such a weird way to say that,
though. Yeah. Like, why not just say you're
suspended
going to jail for a year?
Usually means you're not going to jail, right?
Yeah.
We're suspending the time. Like
suspended
means to be held in a like a limbo state, right?
There's going to be some lawyer that stumbles across this episode by chance and is going to be like,
morons.
These idiots.
Yes. Not a lawyer.
And they're going to be like, by the way, that Dusty O and Pierce joke, not funny. Not funny.
Yeah, it's Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, right?
Well, I just saw that this guy was officially sentenced and wanted to provide an update as kind of a secondary behind bars segment.
What Japanese prison's like.
Yeah.
Right? You don't hear people telling horror stories about Japanese prison.
No, because like everything, like Japanese subways are super nice and clean because of like the social norms there and stuff and the laws that are in place. So I wonder if prison is the same way, where it's like a lot, not higher class, but like a lot nicer, I guess. It's still prison.
I would assume in Japan, they're very, you know, they're very neat and organized and together. Yeah. There's just like the culture of that there. So I would assume that, it's probably pretty swanky.
You're going to do time anywhere.
Of course, you know, compared to like San Quentin.
I was going to say, it's better than a gulag. So.
Yeah, and indeed. That's a place you don't want to find yourself.
No. Trust me, I've played Call of Duty. I know.
You were in a gulag in Call of Duty?
Oh, yeah. I think it's Warzone that you like can end up, if you die, you go to the gulag and you have to fight somebody in the gulag. And if you win, you get respawned onto the map. Yeah, I think it's Warzone. Christian might be able to correct me on that. But yeah, you fight somebody in the gulag. It is Warzone.
I saw some movie with, I had Ed Harris and Colin Farrell.
Okay.
And they were in a gulag in Siberia and they escaped. I want to say it was a true story.
The Way Back.
Yeah. Crazy flick, man. Huh. Them escaping and them going. So they basically escape from Siberia, go through Russia into like Mongolia and across the Gobi Desert. And
Jeez.
Crazy flick.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty good, though. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Put it on the list. Yeah. Oh, it's got Saoirse Ronan in it. Interesting. Saoirse Ronan. She was in Lady Bird. She was in the new adaptation of Little Women. And
I saw Lady Bird. Who did she play in Lady Bird?
She was the main girl. She was the daughter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
With the pink hair, I think.
Yeah.
So she was the daughter. She's good. I like her.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
Yeah. I think I only watched it once. It was decent.
Yeah.
It was decent. That is going to do it for the first half of Technado. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to go get some water. But we've got more on Kaspersky and CrowdStrike and all kinds of fun stuff. So don't go away. More Technado coming up after the break.
Anthony, what are we going to be talking about?
We are talking about our newest and most excellent Cloud Plus course. This course really does an amazing job of taking the learner from the very fundamental aspects of cloud and then walking them through some of the more advanced topics. They're going to learn about how to secure the cloud, how to optimize the cloud, how to save costs with the cloud. So this is not a course with complete bias to AWS or Google Cloud Platform or Microsoft Azure. We breathe life into this material by doing demonstrations across all of the big three cloud vendors.
We have a lot of fun in Cloud Plus, and we know that you will too, so come check it out.
Welcome back to Technado. Thank you for sticking with us through that break. It was a fun break for us. I don't think
you would have stuck with us had you been a part of the conversations that happened between.
I got my drink of water and then I came back and I learned about cryptids. So it was great.
It was a good time.
It was great. I learned so much scientific information. But moving on from that, not that it wasn't a lovely conversation. That's not
let's
what
go.
You're here for.
Let's go. No.
They
would be if they heard it. I totally.
Yeah, we'll do Technado After Dark.
Technado Red.
That's the next one. Yeah. The lights are off to protect our identities.
Yeah.
I did promise you earlier in the episode some Kaspersky, so this is Deja News.
Deja News.
Oh, man, y'all cannot hear the masterful rendition of Deja Vu that just came over the loudspeaker.
We can't hear the music in here, so our director gives us a verbal cue.
I thought it was
cue.
Beyonce.
It was beautiful.
I thought it was. That's how close of a minute
truly beautiful.
Is.
I thought I heard Jay-Z ready to come in. So thank you, Christian, for that. Really do appreciate it. But on to the news, as promised. Kaspersky says Uncle Sam snubbed their proposal to open up its code for third-party review. So Kaspersky, I think you said, like, when we talked about this last.
The first time. I think it was the first time we talked about Kaspersky kind of getting the, you know, y'all get on out of here now, get from the U.S. government. That I'm like, why couldn't they just do like a trusted foundry thing? Yeah. You're having trouble, aren't you? I love watching her just like, get it out of my head. It's no longer there. But it is still there, which is entertaining for you and me.
It's still there, yeah. I'm sorry. You continue.
No, it's funny.
I get myself under control.
But yeah, if you're not familiar with Trusted Foundry, that's where if you have like a hardware device and you want it to be a part of, you know, the U.S. government, they will take a look at it and before it is allowed and in very scrutinizing fashion. And I thought, why couldn't they do this with Kaspersky stuff? Again, I got no skin in the game. I just want to make sure that that is out there in the open when it comes to Kaspersky. When it comes to them, I have no skin in the game as far as like I'm not a defender or a detractor of Kaspersky if they've done stupid bad stuff that is a detriment to the health and safety of the U.S., then to hell with them. If they're not, though, and I will also like to applaud and thank the commenters out there. A lot of people have talked about this in the comment section. I would champion more. Please continue what you know. Yeah. Put it in the comment section so that we can all have this kind of continual conversation, become aware of the bits and pieces. It's really hard to kind of bring everything together. What's truth? What's fact? What's fiction? So yeah, it's really helpful for people out there that know that some people said something about how Kaspersky was busted on a home laptop where they were stealing NSA secrets.
Oh yeah.
Right. If that's true, bad Kaspersky. Mm-hmm. And that makes us not want you in the country, but
sure.
Going back to our article, kind of playing catch up here, they have said, hey, we reached out to the U.S. We actually do this in other governments and other countries where we say, you know what? We will give you the source code. We will open up to you to scrutinize as you will. We will have no control over that. At least that's what they're saying. How much truth is in that? I don't know. But it is interesting as far as the conversation goes. As it does seem that Kaspersky is willing to play ball in a lot of ways to say, we are transparent as a pane of glass. Come on down, take a look at our code. We have nothing to hide. At least that's what they're saying. And you found something interesting over there?
I'm looking at the comments.
Oh.
And of course, everybody's sure, an
those
expert.
Are fun.
Not our comments, but the comments from the article.
Yeah.
Of course, they're like, they don't even need, why do they need U.S. government approval? Sorry, I'm not talking to the mic. Why do they need U.S. government approval? If he wants to open his code to third-party review, he can just do it. If he wants to post source code on GitHub, he can. He's waffling. He's trying to rattle Washington.
I think they were saying more along the lines of, you set up the thing that you will trust that you
right,
will
exactly.
do.
Right, exactly. And that's what people are saying.
And they don't want to open their code to the world. They don't want to make it an open source project.
Right.
What they're saying is, I want to be able to open the code to the governments specifically to allow them to vet and verify that our code has nothing sneaky and never will have anything sneaky because you always have access
right.
to the updates and to the new code and everything that goes into our product so that you can maintain the idea. I, if this is all true, taking it at face value, I think that's a big step. Like that's huge for some organization to say, I'm willing to let you just scrutinize my entire code. And the fact that apparently they're doing it with other countries as well. It's like, this ain't our first rodeo. You do it in Brazil and Saudi Arabia, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? Because, well, I don't know anything about Brazil's government. You know, but Saudi Arabia has a much more tightly controlled governmental entity. Mm-hmm. Right? So they were willing to open up for them, and they were willing to open up for you. I would, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the article, they also say that they reached out to the U.S. government to crickets. They received crickets in return. Just
they were
no,
snubbed.
Yeah, snubbed was the word the article used. Now, yes. It does seem the register is a bit on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a huge fan when, not the, you know, I don't want to cast any aspersions on the register necessarily, but just the fact that if you are a news outlet, just give me the facts. I don't need your op-eds.
Sure.
Right? I don't need your opinions in the facts. Just give me the facts. If Kaspersky is doing this, then cite sources. Give me the information, allow me to form my own opinion on these things. But I just thought it was worth, you know, the conversation continues. It does seem, though, that Kaspersky is willing to play ball with the U.S. government. I would actually like to see some response coming from the U.S. government one way or the other.
Yeah, what's your reasoning? Like we're not accepting it.
We think this is horse crap or you're a bunch of lying scumbag, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to know what the response is from the U.S., and why they would say, no, that's not on the table for X, Y, and Z reasons. again, I like to be an informed person.
Sure.
Hopefully you do as well. And that's why I encourage, if you know something about this, throw that in the comments section for the rest of us that are low information on this. I want more information.
That almost sounded like the cadence of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the way you said that.
Oh, really?
That in the comments for the rest of us, the way that we'll you like.
In the comments for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Show me your leadership skills.
Do it now.
Come on.
I'm here. Do it now.
Do it now. Come on.
That's Kaspersky to the
Get
U.S. government.
Out of this chopper.
Oh, man. Thank you for that. I needed that. That was beautiful.
Yeah, that's fun.
I did finally calm myself. It was just Christian's lovely Beyonce impression that was causing me.
Hey, I had to bring my game, right?
It caused me to lose my focus. So I do appreciate you giving me some time.
Hey, you said nothing. You were over there just processing.
I was really trying to hold it together. I don't know. It's because it was like bass boosted through the speakers and then he started laughing and it just gave me a giggle. Christian is always good at giving
He's
us a
good
laugh.
For a chuckle.
He's a funny guy.
Yes, indeed.
He's funny, a funny guy.
Funny like a clown.
He amuses me.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh. I'm just kidding, Christian.
I hate that you can't really finish that whole monologue, no. You know, because it's.
He's a big boy. What did he say?
Yeah.
I can't.
He knows
yeah.
what he said.
Can't really.
Yeah.
We'll do Tech Nato After Dark and it'll be uncensored.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
See, it's going to be.
We're going to start getting caught.
What are you doing?
Totally After Dark. Give me that. Give me the After Dark Tech Nato.
Except my grandma. She'll be like, no, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. That don't is that. Not ladylike.
That is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Grandma's in the comments like almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
She's a supporter. Appreciate that.
She's a ride or die.
She is a ride or die. She is. Mm-hmm. Love you, Grandma. Thanks for that. I'm not going to give away her name, though. Just keep that a secret identity. We'll move on. Just wanted to give that update on Kaspersky. So thank you for that, Daniel. Video game voice actors are officially on strike over AI. We refuse this paradigm, which is a little dramatic.
I mean, what are we in? Huh? Translating that. We refuse this paradigm, sir.
Tragedy today.
Yeah. Damn boy, they're eaten by wolves. And you don't want to know how that story went. Because you see, when we had a conversation in between segments, it went down that road and it got dark.
It did. It got dark. It got very scientific.
But funny.
I was a little scared.
See, I said, but funny.
We're going to get flagged.
I'm having fun now.
He's going to spend the rest of the episode trying to get me to break again.
Yep.
I'm not going to do it. So, video game voice actors are on strike. SAG-AFTRA actors will refuse to work for Activision, EA, Take-Two, and a bunch of other major developers because they want to make sure that they're not going to be taken advantage of in the way of having their voice or their likeness in that way replicated by AI. Interesting little side part to this is that this doesn't apply to games that are already in development. So a lot of the voice actors working on GTA 6, which we've been waiting for 17 years, are upset.
No, well, that's a little while longer, right?
Yeah.
We waited this long.
It's like a whole joke now. Like, we got blank before GTA 6. Like, it's just people have been waiting for so long.
Just go play GTA 3 and be happy with your life, right?
Yeah. GTA 5 if you prefer. But they're upset because I guess
What's your favorite GTA?
I don't play it. I watch it. I watch people play it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Specifically, like I've watched my brother play it at some point.
Gotcha.
Because it's a little violent.
It is a little violent. But for me, I love the game, the open world of it.
Oh, sure.
Being able to just
absolutely
drive with reckless abandon.
Yeah.
As fast as you can, just do stupid stuff with your car. And then of course you get all the stars and then here comes the cops and everything. And they send the National Guard after you after a while, like if you get 5 stars.
Probably.
There was a cheat code, and I want to say it was GTA 3, where you could get the tank and drive around in the tank.
That sounds right. That sounds like a GTA.
It was super fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it was stupid fun.
The same developers, Rockstar, made another game called L.A. Noire, which is one of my favorites. Okay. And it's similar mechanics in that it's pretty open world, but you're like a detective in the 1940s.
Yeah.
And so you're doing good. He does.
Oh, that's cool.
Spoiler. He cheats on his wife. So that is not good. No, but
let's not do that.
He does a lot of good throughout so you're playing as him having to solve these mysteries and like interview people. It uses the motion capture. Yeah. So you have to like read their facial expressions.
He's a flawed character, obviously.
He is. Yeah. It makes him like you really like him. And then it's like, oh, I don't like you anymore because you cheated on your wife. And then spoiler, he dies at the end because he like sacrifices himself. So anyway, I like that game because it's similar mechanics, I think.
Did Max Payne, was that from Rockstar? Was that Rockstar?
What was
did
it called?
Max Payne.
Max Payne. Oh, I don't know.
You don't know Max Payne?
I don't think
so. Oh my goodness.
Is he related to Major Payne? Dude, it is Rockstar.
Yeah. That is one of the best games ever created.
Oh, it's
not the second one. Second one was
Neo Noir? That looks like something I would enjoy.
Bro, Max Payne is literally easily top 5 games of all time.
Okay, I didn't expect you to be so passionate about this.
Yeah, come on, man.
This looks like something I would enjoy.
It was such a game changer to turn a phrase, right? Like,
yeah,
with the bullet time physics.
It's on iOS.
And bro, you're gonna lose your mind. When I got that game, I did not emerge from my cocoon until it was beaten.
Huh.
I spent so much time playing Max Payne.
Interesting. I mean, it came out 23 years ago, so yeah. I wonder if I could play it
so
now.
Freaky. It like had the whole noir thing going on. It was very gritty. Like you'll love it. You will absolutely love that game.
Interesting. Maybe it'll be a good alternative for me to a good alternative to GTA.
Yeah.
Lego City Undercover is also good for that because it's open world, but you're like, it's Lego.
Yeah.
It's not violent. Anyway, I got way off topic, but I appreciate the recommendation. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
So it's applies to SAG-AFTRA actors because obviously they are part of that union. And the thing that's interesting to me about this is that obviously it's the union that's going on strike, but there are voice actors that do work for companies like this that are not part of any kind of union. Florida is a right to work state. I'm a voice actor. I can do voice jobs and not be part of the union. Now, for acting jobs, there's some kind of rule about SAG-AFTRA where you can do one as a non-union worker and then you become SAG eligible. And then after your second job that's a union job, you have to like join the union or else they won't let you do any more union work. You can still do non-union stuff. But I just wonder if there are enough folks that are non-union that will continue to do the work because they're not really part of this, or if there's enough people that agree with this overall goal of like, hey, this AI stuff's getting out of control. We need some protections in place to protect our likeness and our voice, that even folks that aren't really part of the strike are willing to like participate and boycott almost to a degree. But curious to know what y'all think about this, because I think that when people talk about like name, image, and likeness, sometimes people forget that a voice is a part of that. And Daniel brought up a good point. We were talking about this earlier about like, what does that mean for impersonators? If like Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson, right, if she has like protections in place that you can't use AI to emulate my voice for Simpsons episodes, what if I do a really good Bart Simpson impression?
So what that's an interesting like take on it though, because the Bart Simpson voice is not her voice. That is a voice she puts on,
right?
That is a voice she created for the Simpsons.
That's true. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I could see a judge and a jury or whoever going, hey, that's really a character voice and the character is owned by Fox.
True. So they can find-
character is owned by whatever, whoever, right? Yeah. Whereas if it's just Nancy's voice, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Right? So Nancy owns Nancy's voice. And I believe there are actual like likenesses, clauses and stuff in a lot of contracts saying, oh, we don't own you. We don't own blah, blah. But if you create a character for us, then that character is owned. Now, where that gets weird is you're obviously playing a character if you're in a movie or whatever.
Right.
And that character is owned by whatever movie house or television show or whatever the case.
Fox Studios or whatever, right. Yeah.
But since you're using your own voice, how much of that likeness do they own?
Yeah. And can they use it
to then
create?
That's where it gets weird, yeah. Right.
Because like working here, I know there's a certain, like if I'm in videos on ACILearning.com and it's in our library, like I can't say, well, that's me. You need to take it down because I don't work there anymore. Like they own that.
Yeah, that's
their content that they own. Does that also apply to my voice? Can they take like clips of me talking?
What if they, let's say they take the character, right? Because obviously if you played a character.
Sure.
And people know it's you, but you kind of part ways with them and they started creating a character based off of that character that you did. That looks a lot like you, sounds a lot like you, maybe is not quite you.
Yeah.
And they're doing things that you don't agree with.
Yeah.
Right?
Where's the line?
Seems like we got a lot of work to do when it comes to, I need to be able to own me and what my likeness does and does not do.
Right.
And does and does not say. So I'm kind of, on one hand, it does seem like I would be on their side on this. I don't like the fact that they got the communist fist as their...
Yeah,
the logo.
That is interesting.
The old red salute is not my, I'm not a communist. But I do believe that they, I get what they're saying and to probably a great extent because, like you said, we work in this space where our likenesses are used. We are owned in contract to do X, Y, and Z. Like if I make a course for ACI Learning, they own that course.
Yeah.
That is theirs. But if I part ways with them, I should be relinquished from my contract and I can now start creating that same
sure.
similar content.
Like you couldn't take stuff that was already in the library, right?
Right.
And luckily, I think we're in a situation where like the content that we create, I couldn't see them really having a, there would be no benefit to them being like, well, we're going to take your voice and you, for what, to what end? Because you would still need my appearance
right.
to create these videos where we're teaching something, unless they were hoping to use it in like a voiceover sense. Like right. in that case, I might have something to worry about.
And impersonations, if I can do a good impersonation, is that infringing?
Yeah.
Right? Is now all the impersonators out there out of business because they're stealing someone's likeness in a way? Yeah.
Like Dana Carvey's in trouble.
Seems like there's a lot of work that needs to be done, or if it is done, you know, made more aware to the people so that they know if you get into this business, this is the reality of it.
Read your contracts, yeah, when you sign on to do something.
They're called lawyers, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Get one.
Because there's stuff, there's voiceover jobs that maybe you're not as worried about it. If I'm doing right. like a, it's a mom and pop shop that needs like a voicemail, you know, we just need you to say like, oh, press one to hear our menu, press two to da 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 da. I'm not going to be as worried about like, granny down the street.
Yeah, but what if that becomes a meme, right? What if, for whatever reason, like I bet half of our viewers could sing the hold music.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah.
You know what? See, that. I didn't even sing it.
It's good.
She knows exactly what I'm talking about.
It's good music. Kind of goes hard. Yeah, it's good.
I'm like, yep.
Getting down. Just leave me on hold,
son.
Yeah. At that point, I hate
my jam. This is my best part.
At that point, like, I hate when they interrupt to be like, your call is important to us. It's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
let me
I'm
listen to the song.
Music, stupid.
Let me listen. Yeah. Don't interrupt me until you're ready for me.
That's right.
But you're right. Like, I guess in that case, you can never be too careful. You have to, I guess, pick your battles in that case. But especially with a big company like the woman that did the Siri voice and how she ended up having to fight some battles surrounding that. If you're doing stuff for Disney, like.
Oh, yeah. House of Mouse. They like to own everything. Like, IP is a big deal for a lot of these things.
Mine now.
Yeah.
You get in trouble for that.
No, you get a cease and desist.
They're going to be like, we own them. Right? Thank you.
Whoa, where's my my royalty for that? We didn't make any money off of this.
I think for long-term video game roles, it would be difficult to do it entirely generatively AI because there are still, if you listen to it for long enough, it's like, you can kind of tell. But especially for just little quips, like little NPC lines, super easy.
Yeah.
To just, hey, watch it.
So why, I guess the question becomes, why shouldn't the game companies be allowed to use AI generated stuff? What's the argument on that?
I guess if you're generating.
And if you're okay with some of it, let me go down the road. How much and why it seems arbitrary that you chose here
right.
is the line and not here. You got to give some good reasoning objectively why this is why you should go this far with AI and no farther. And then employ X, Y, and Z people.
Yeah.
That's another conundrum and a question.
I guess it would it would be in a contract, right? Like we reserve the right to do X, Y, and Z right. with your voice. And as an individual, you just have to decide if you're willing.
Well, is that what their problem is? Or is the problem that they're using AI or is that they're using AI to mimic the voices of the actors?
The actors are striking for fair compensation and the right of informed consent for AI use of faces as well as voices
okay,
and bodies.
Okay, so it is all about using AI to recreate their voices
Their name, image, likeness, or whatever, yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just as long as they, I guess, have some kind of a meaningful agreement that everybody understands and they're compensated for
right.
it.
Right.
Which makes sense.
That come on. That's a simple thing.
You're using
if I'm
going to
create a game, we created a character that's based off of your likeness, your voice, your face, your body, so on and so forth. In that contract, it should just say, you get compensated in perpetuity for every time we use this character.
Yep.
The end. And you get X percentage or X amounts, whatever you guys agree on. I mean, it just seems that simple. I mean, it is just an overreaching profiteering glutton that just wants to not pay.
Yeah, I guess if you can get away with using it for free, why would you pay? In their estimation,
right.
But they've been in negotiation for over a year on this, and finally they've decided we're not getting anywhere. We're going on strike. So, okay. Be interesting to see where this goes. And to those GTA 6 voice actors that they're not part of this. Hope your work goes well. We'll pray for you. I mentioned, I would suck to, it would suck to be in that position. I would hate to be in that position. We mentioned earlier that we might be able to potentially convince our director, Christian, to put our Boot Loops graphic back up on the wall for those of you that missed it last week, because we do have a small update. on the CrowdStrike situation. So I don't know if that's something we'll be able to put up, but in the meantime, CrowdStrike is offering a $10 apology gift card to say sorry for the outage. So this applied to like their partners and things that were affected by that big outage. And, you know, okay, there it is. In case you didn't hear about it.
There it is.
There's the graphic. You might have heard about a little outage that happened last week concerning CrowdStrike. They offered its partners, CrowdStrike offered its partners a $10 Uber Eats gift card as an apology for a late night snack or coffee. The issue that partially people were like, okay, a $10 Uber Eats gift card, that will cover the delivery fees that Uber Eats charges me to order a minimum of $10 of stuff. Because you can't order just like a $5 snack on Uber Eats. It's like a minimum of $9 or something. So I was like, okay.
Hit the delivery guy with
You got to tip him.
Or whoever. Yeah.
A certain amount or else they're not going to bring you your food. Yeah. Or they'll spit in it or whatever. There are people that like film themselves.
I'm not
like,
saying that that doesn't happen. It's just funny that that's where we go in our minds.
There's like videos of people being
immediate
like.
Immediate vindication.
Like, I have your food. I saw you didn't tip. Were you going to tip in cash? And they're like, huh? What? And then it's like, well, even if I was going to tip in cash, like, dang, you're kind of being a jerk about this. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? Withhold my food? Anyway, so point being, a lot of people were like, $10 Uber Eats gift card. Thank you for this. What am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
But on top of that, when people went to redeem the code, they were getting an error message that said the gift was canceled by the issuing party and is no longer valid. So as a result of an outage that resulted in a lot of things not being available, they got a gift card as a sorry gift that was also not available, that resulted in an error. So
that's
kind of
fun.
Kind of a sucky situation all around.
Man, CrowdStrike's just, you know, the hits just keep on coming.
They just can't catch a break. They really can't.
They really can't, unfortunately for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, are they giving out, and maybe you said this and I just missed it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I'm XYZ Corp and I had 2,000 devices that were downed because of this whole CrowdStrike debacle. Do I get 2,000 $10 Uber Eats gift cards?
That is a good question. It says it was sent to their partners and some of the people who tried to redeem it, it didn't work. But it doesn't say whether it like we're going to send you a gift card to each of your employees or we're sending you a gift card for each device that was affected. It just says we send our heartfelt thanks and apologies for the inconvenience, gives a reason for the delay and like things that were impacted. And then, oh, many of you have been proactive in assisting your customers with recovery, and we want to ensure you we have access to the latest information and tools to express our gratitude. Your next cup of coffee is on us. But
so that's weird, though. It's like, who the hell gets that? Who is it that gets it? Is it people that are proactively being helpful? Like you randomly, if they saw you on the interwebs being like, hey, here's how to help your CrowdStrike issue.
Like, is it the IT teams at these companies, or is it just like the CSO gets one and that's it? Like,
right? Like this is weird. This is an odd thing.
Huh.
With very little detail on how this works.
Yeah, it just says partners.
We send this to our teammates and partners who have been helping customers throughout this situation.
Yeah, not customers, but partners. So,
and then they totally got hosed because Uber was like, this is fraud.
Yes, Uber, the reason that they kept coming up as an error is because Uber flagged it as fraud because of the high usage rates. So it just, CrowdStrike cannot catch a break. And I don't know that there was any like, oh, we'll reissue the code. I don't know if they...
And I'm sure there are very few CrowdStrike individual users out there. It's
right.
Mostly corporate entities that uses CrowdStrike. So I would assume they're sending these $10 gift cards to these corporate people.
Yeah, but that's a good question. Like if there was a team of 10 in this corporation that was working on this stuff, and
you
then,
know what I love about TechCrunch? The detail and information that they give you in their articles.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at
it's
like other
it's not ambiguous at all.
And like other sources, and it just says partners. So,
define partners.
Right, yeah. They were, CrowdStrike did not send gift cards to customers or clients. We sent these to our teammates and partners who have been helping customers through this situation. But other than that, no specifics. So if you happen to know, for whatever reason, maybe you work at CrowdStrike.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Jump in the comments section.
And if you do, we are so sorry. And we hope that
you're doing
okay.
That you're having like a real piss poor
week. If you need anything.
Yeah.
You reach out. Help is on the way.
I mean, we won't send it. But.
Somebody will.
Yeah, I'm sure. Somebody.
Yeah, put in the comments. That was pretty much the only update I had on CrowdStrike because, you know, they've been working on resolving the issues and everything. And so that's good. Positive developments. But we do have one more thing that we want to get into that you may have heard about this week. Daniel, I'm glad that you grabbed this one. KnowBefore hires fake North Korean IT worker. catches new employee planting malware. And this guy, like, circumvented all of their measures to, like, he was able to outsmart basically all these measures to in the hiring process, right?
In the hiring process, yeah. Yes. And it wasn't like, hi, I'm Bob Smith from Ohio. I would love to work at KnowBe4. If you read the article, this individual was very crafty,
mm-hmm.
used every single trick in the book, and maybe even more, to create a hireable character for the purposes of delivering malware into the KnowBe4 environments. So, interesting thing about this. This is. Let's go upper levels with what we can learn from this. KnowBe4, and admittedly, they said this, they obviously found some weaknesses in our hiring process and that we need to go with the times because we live in a new world. AI is a thing. And this individual used AI to create a deep faked character, voice, face, sock puppet accounts, everything they needed. And they utilized things like VPNs because they were North Korean hacker that got a job with KnowBe4 and was able to, okay. And they said, you know, hey, send me my laptop for my work purposes. And when they got that laptop, KnowBe4 said immediately after them receiving the laptop, we started seeing hits on malware. They started trying to upload malware access systems. So we saw two things happen with KnowBe4. One, yep, it's time to update the old hiring processes when it comes to the security around that and verification of, is this person who they say they are? We need to be able to have a little more robustness when it comes to vetting these individuals. Their software did a great job because it was almost immediate that they saw, hey, what's that you got there?
Well, that's a plus.
What's that you doing?
Yeah,
this is a plus. So their software did great in verifying and detecting that, hey, you've got, seems like you're trying to upload some malware there and we don't really enjoy that. So you're going to need to stop and we're going to go ahead and stop you. And now we're going to revoke access and everything. You got a perplexed look on your face.
I'm just wondering if during the hiring process, city slipped past the background checks and everything. So I'm following all that. But usually, even if you're remote, isn't there some kind of an interview as far as like audio or video? So how did they not?
They did a deep fake, if I'm not mistaken.
Even on their voice?
On voice.
Ooh.
And maybe even visual, like he created a deep fake face
with an
AI generated person.
Dang.
Yeah, this was no joke. It wasn't like, well, you know, he didn't have like a paper mask on going, you know, some Groucho Marx glasses. Hey, I'm here for the interview, you know, that kind of stuff. This was very sophisticated.
Okay. That makes more sense then. If he was deep faking, I guess I didn't think about his voice. That's kind of scary.
Yeah. How this works is that a fake worker asks to, and this is the scam, fake worker asks to get their workstation sent to an address that is basically an, quote, IT mule laptop farm. Then they VPN from where they really physically are. In this case, this was either North Korea or right over the border in China because China and North Korea share a border. And they work the night shift so that they can seem to be working in the U.S. daytime. So they had all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted when it came to looking as legitimate as possible. The scam is that they are actually doing the work and getting paid. So it's not that they don't work. They actually do work that they've been tasked to do and they get paid. And then they take that money and they give it to their government.
Yeah.
Right. And this is to like fund their their economy, basically, because tell me the last thing you bought from North Korea.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they don't make anything.
They don't talk to
bombs.
Anybody.
Yeah.
They don't. Yeah.
They make ICBMs. It's about the thing that they built.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think I found the picture of like the original versus the one that he submitted to HR.
Oh, yeah?
Deepfake. I'm pretty
let's
sure.
See it.
So, it was a stock photo that he used. So this was the stock photo, and then this was the enhanced one that was submitted.
Excellent.
So it's pretty, I mean, it's pretty convincing. I guess maybe if you looked real close, but it also could just be like, oh, it's not a very good quality picture, you know?
Right. I mean, I've seen some pretty crap pictures on like LinkedIn profiles.
It's not like he's got like an extra finger or something that would give away like, it's a little weird.
You leave fingers out of this, stupid AI.
Right. And then even if it was like a sixth finger, I'd be like, hey, I was going that way. You can't.
If you show a finger, I will delete your AI.
Wow. That's
I don't want
pretty
Will
scary.
Smith eating spaghetti in this.
Huh?
Oh, if you haven't seen it, it's like this side-by-side video of where we were like as of last year when it comes to what AI could create as far as a video goes.
Yeah.
And the model they used was, or the prompt they used was Will Smith eating spaghetti. And then now next to it, they have like where we're at now. And it's completely, it's so, yeah, it's almost disturbing to see where it was before.
If this is the right thing.
You can show that.
I think if it's the right thing. Will Smith eating spaghetti AI. Okay. I think this is it. This was last year. Oh.
Yeah. Show that, Christian. Yeah. It's really weird and kind of disturbing.
Well, that's, I mean, they had the vision.
If this fooled no before, then their hiring press is like, I met this gentleman.
It just keeps going.
Online.
Okay. So then this is 2024 because it just keeps going for like a solid minute. Wow. That's a lot better. Yeah. I mean, it's still a little scary.
So this is where we are as far as AI generation goes now.
This is AI. Oh.
Right? Still
that's
weird.
That's unnerving.
It can still get weird.
Great. Now I'm going to get all these weird AI generated videos in my suggestions now. Awesome.
Still gets weird, but yeah.
Hmm.
Much
that is
better.
Kind of. I'm glad that Nobefore caught this, and it's great that their software is good enough that,
good for them.
That they were able to catch it early. But good thing to be aware of, especially if you're hiring.
Yeah, Nobefore CEO warned that the unidentified North Korean operative showed a quote high level of sophistication in creating a believable cover identity, exploiting weaknesses in the hiring and background check process, and attempting to establish a foothold within the company. They just weren't good enough. Nobefore smashed you. Good job.
Well, hopefully they've learned, right? This is how you learn. They'll do some like security, some mandated security awareness training now that they'll send out to their employees. I know we got a message company-wide that was like, hey, did you see this thing that happened? It was like a Teams message somebody sent out like, look at this fun little news story. Maybe you should be aware if you're hiring. Let's be extra careful. So
really, really verify. And then a lot of that probably comes from the fact that we use third parties to do verification.
Right, like contractors and stuff.
Right? And then those third parties, because they're trying to do it in bulk, they come up with a process, and that process is not thinking that, oh, this could be an AI-generated person.
Right. Yeah. Right? It's just now doing the best it can.
And now they're trying to play catch-up on what do we do now that there are AI-generated deepfakes that are out there.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Right?
It's kind of scary.
Getting ahead of the game.
Well, that's an interesting one. Probably one that you saw this week. I think that was a pretty big one. I did see that on a couple different sites. It didn't slip by many people's radars. I think that's pretty much all we've got for news this week. We are recording in a little bit of a different schedule this week because these few weeks have been pretty busy, and next week's episode is probably going to be a little different too because I'm about to become an ant. So I'm going to be gone for a little bit next week.
A small little bug with antennae.
Uh-huh.
And cool.
So I can attend the school for ants from Zoolander. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm traveling. I'm getting a couple new family members next week, and so I'm very excited. Not like they're I'm getting a couple new. We're generating them artificially. I'm very excited. So I will be gone a couple days next week. So a Technado might look a little bit different. But there will be a Technado, dang it.
There will be a Technado.
And before we even get there, we actually have a webinar this week. All Things Cybersecurity is back. The day this episode's released, it'll be on 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be here on the YouTube channel, as well as I think on LinkedIn and potentially even on Zoom. Yep. So who's our guest again?
Michelle Kahn.
I'm excited. We haven't had him on before.
OSINT and social engineering cybermaster.
I do enjoy a bit of OSINT. That is always interesting. And we haven't had him on before, so it'll be a first-time guest.
So I'm really excited to have Michelle.
Super excited. It's going to be a great time. So make sure you join us for that. It's going to be again later today as of the day this episode's released. Other than that, though, thank you, Daniel, for all of your fun little fun facts that you threw into this episode and during our break.
I don't know how many of them are facts, but...
disturbing statements. Yeah, we'll go that way.
That's as best as it gets from Daniel. All right.
And of course, thanks to Christian for supplying our lovely graphics and
his beautiful voice. His musical stylings.
For the speakers. And of course, thank you for joining us. Leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe so you never miss an episode in the future. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed today's show, consider subscribing so you'll never miss a new episode.